The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization. Of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it. Oh, thank you very much. Good day, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Monday, July 29th, 2013, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. So glad to have you here. We're back from our trip to St. Paul and Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Twin Cities. My first time ever in Minnesota. Guests of Minnesota Normal, we had a great time. We were there to witness the panel and the showing of the movie Breaking the Taboo, a great movie that's out there produced by Sir Richard Branson's son. And there was a panel discussion that featured Sir Richard Branson, Chris Coleman, the mayor of St. Paul, and a couple of other women were on the panel, and unfortunately I've forgotten their names. One was from the Minnesota Department of Public Health. Another was a rehab and addictions expert. It was a fantastic panel. We're going to show you that entire panel in hour two in Toker Talk Radio. But coming up this hour, at the end of the hour, 45 after, we'll show you my coverage of the event there in St. Paul, Minnesota, and Minneapolis. We start in Minneapolis, where I made a voyage to a very important pop culture landmark. We'll start with that. And then I got a chance to have 6 minutes one-on-one interview with Virgin executive Richard Branson, Sir Richard Branson, billionaire Sir Richard Branson. We'll talk to him about the movie, the international fight, and his global commission on drug policy and the results that they are getting on the international fight against prohibition. Also on today's show, we got Dr. Mitch at half past with our cannabis Q&A. You can call in or you can get into our chat room and get your live questions answered on cannabis science, culture, history, and health. That'll be at half past. Also on today's show, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at Politico, the big political website out there, noticing the phenomenon we call stoners against legalization, or the I Got Mind syndrome. That's when medical marijuana industries fight against recreational legalization. And for our Daily Toker Tune today, since we got Richard Branson on the show, we are going to bring you some Sex Pistols. That's right, Sex Pistols on the Russ Belville Show. But it all starts off with our 420 radio news. We've got some news headlines for you coming to you from the NASCAR race, that MPP ad, a update on that story, some roadblocks for legalization in Washington, Mexico City legalization possibly, and a great story out of New Zealand. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that recognizes our natural rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search and seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak to my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.
If you're an adult who enjoys a good beer, there's a similar product you might want to know about. One without all the calories and serious health problems. Less toxic so it doesn't cause hangovers or overdose deaths, and it's not linked to violence or reckless behavior. Marijuana, less harmful than alcohol, and time to treat it that way. For more information, visit marijuanaissafer.org.
This is your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 29th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. Pro-marijuana ad polled at weekend NASCAR race to avoid upsetting family atmosphere, from Huffington Post. A commercial touting marijuana as an alternative to beer was pulled from displays outside a weekend NASCAR race after just a few airings. When officials with the company that had allowed the Marijuana Policy Project to purchase airtime caught wind of its pro-marijuana message, they scrambled to take it down. Grazie Media CEO Vanessa Wojtala told WISH, quote, "We decided to pull it ultimately because it's not obviously a great fit for the NASCAR audience, for the family kind of oriented audience. That's why we decided to pull the ad," end quote. Mason DeVert, communications director for MPP, jabbed back at the advertiser's decision, accusing the company of being hypocritical in supporting alcohol-related content while denying the marijuana ad. Crown Royal Whiskey and Miller Lite Beer were the main sponsors of the race. Speedway police reported making 23 arrests over the weekend, six of them for public intoxication, and other charges included theft and battery. Washington faces marijuana legalization roadblocks, from Spokesman.com. As the state tries to create a legal industry that hasn't existed before, it finds more questions than answers. Among the biggest questions, how will those new businesses finance their operations or pay their bills with money that might have to be kept out of the national banking system? Several federal laws, including the Bank Secrecy Act and the Patriot Act, have severe restrictions about accepting money from drug operations. No bank account means no credit, debit, or check purchases by customers, and no checks or electronic transfers to pay state taxes or fees. The state currently deposits taxes from medical marijuana operations like any other taxes paid, and has no plans to do anything different for recreational marijuana businesses, but it might have to. The strictest interpretation of federal banking laws would forbid commingling money that the state collects from marijuana businesses with other tax collections, said Chris Marr, a member of the Liquor Control Board, which is in charge of writing Washington's legal marijuana rules. If not, and the federal government moves to seize tax revenue from marijuana businesses, the state could risk forfeiture of the non-drug money in the account. Mexico City considers making marijuana legal, from the Washington Post. A growing number of Mexicans are asking logical questions. Why spray and marijuana fields in the hills of Oaxaca, search for tunnels in Tijuana, and incarcerate weed traffickers in Monterrey if consumption is made legal in parts of the United States? These sentiments are part of the reason for a change in Mexican attitudes toward drugs in general and marijuana in particular. Two former presidents, Ernesto Zedillo and Vicente Fox, who both vigorously fought drug trafficking and consumption while in office, have concluded that this approach is doomed and that a better policy would include decriminalizing marijuana use and commerce. President Enrique Peña Nieto opposes legalization but seems open to a broad debate and whatever consensus would emerge locally, nationally, or regionally. New Zealand pro-cannabis group raises money by selling cannabis bonds. A pro-cannabis political party from New Zealand has found a unique approach to sell cannabis to supporters without breaking the law. The Atoria Legalized Cannabis Party is selling bond certificates, good for an eighth of marijuana, redeemable once it is legal to do so. This is from the DailyChronic.net. The $50 Cannabons are part of a fundraising effort looking forward to a 2014 election campaign to promote a regulated, taxable cannabis market for adults. The party says they anticipate legalization and the bonds will be redeemable after 6 months of growing a victory crop, which will be distributed to bondholders upon harvest. When asked about the legality of the Cannabons, Mr. Wilkinson said they were entirely legal and the party would not be engaging in any illegal activity. The bonds can be purchased on the ALCP's website at alcp.org.nz. Legal weed is hurting San Francisco's hippies. From Priceonomics.com. It may seem odd to risk crossing state lines with an illegal substance when it can be grown and sold legally in California, but as street kids have experienced, legalization reduced prices by attracting a glut of new farmers and sellers. While legalization increased the supply of weed in California, the increased transparency rather than increased supply explains the price drop. Since weed is illegal in New York, customers can't check out different suppliers and compare their prices and products. So even if supply is high, customers still pay a premium, as dealers are difficult to find and suppliers are not forced to compete as meaningfully on price or quality. This has been your 420 Radio News for Monday, July 29th, 2013. I'm Russ Belville. When we come back, we take a look at the story on Politico.com, the Washington, D.C. insider politics blog, just noticing that big marijuana lobby fights legalization efforts. It's the story of the Box Canyon and stoners against legalization all over again. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org. We'll be right back.
Woodpipe Smoke Shop and Speakeasy is your source for cannabis community gear in southern Wisconsin. Owners Brian and Tammy Wood are located in Kendall, just outside of Madison, and they've got everything for the smoking enthusiast, including a full assortment of pipes, water pipes, hookahs, bubblers, one-hitters, and so much more. They're open noon to 8 p.m. Monday through Saturday and can help you with your detoxification therapies as well. Call 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com for more information. That's 608-466-7473 or email woodpipes@yahoo.com. And as always, go Pack, go!
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back after a word from these 420 friendly sponsors. Wait a minute. This is internet radio. There are no dials here.
Say, chum, where are you headed? Just to see my best girl, Donna, that's where. We're going to split a soda pop. It'll be keen. Soda pop, eh? I have something that's even keener than soda pop. It's called marijuana. Marijuana? Come, I'll show you. Hyde, you were right. Marijuana is the bee's knees. Yep. All it takes is one puff to make you hopelessly addicted. I am hopelessly addicted.
Here's a new shipment, fresh from whatever the hell country I am from.
Chip Willikers, Eric. Where have you been? You miss choir practice.
Sorry, dollface, but now, thanks to marijuana, I'm incurably insane.
Well, I'm not gonna let a swell kid like you ruin your life.
Not so fast, sister. I need that for the school children.
No!
Hey, my young, promising life.
This is what's happening all over America. And it could happen in your home, or yours, or yours.
Welcome back, everybody. Time for us to go behind the headlines. And in our feature story today, we're taking a look at a story that was written in Politico.com. And if you follow politics, this is kind of the insider Washington, D.C. blog on, you know, just what's happening in politics. And the story coming out of Politico is Big Marijuana Lobby Fights Legalization Efforts. Just read you a little bit from this. Pot legalization activists are running into an unexpected and ironic opponent in their efforts to make cannabis legal. Big marijuana. Medical marijuana is a billion-dollar industry, and like any entrenched business, it's fighting to keep what it has and shut out competitors. From the point of view of dispensary owners, legalization laws, depending on how they're written, can have little immediate upside and offer plenty of reasons for concern. For one, their businesses, still illegal under federal law, benefit from exclusive monopolies on the right to sell legal pot. But state measures still don't end the risks of an FBI raid or an Internal Revenue Service audit. Meanwhile, those same federal laws that prohibit growing, selling, and using keep pot prices high. This spring, the Medical Marijuana Caregivers of Maine joined the usual coalition of anti-pot forces that includes active law enforcement groups, social conservatives, and public health advocates to oppose a state bill that would legalize possession of small quantities of the drug. The medical marijuana lobby argued that criminal organizations would start smuggling pot to neighboring states, and they complained that the bill's tax plan was unworkable and unfair. Paul McCarrier, a lobbyist for the Medical Marijuana Caregivers Group, told Politico, quote, "The main objections came from the fact that the bill was not built around Maine's medical marijuana industry. Philosophically, we're not opposed to the decriminalization of marijuana, but the devil is in the details," end quote. Now, this is a phenomenon we have been noting here at the Russ Belville Show and before, all the way back to 2009. I used to do a piece called Toss Salad, the Stoners Against Legalization article of the day. And this came from the 2010 effort with Prop 19 to legalize marijuana, which should be noted was funded and conceived of by a dispensary owner. So it's not everybody, it's not all of the medical marijuana industry that feels this way. There's many people like Richard Lee out there that put their own money on the line, knowing that legalization is best for them in the long run. And this is kind of a symptom of a problem that exists in America in a larger extent. And that is the reliance on all these short-term gains. I got mine. I got my medical marijuana dispensary. I've got my legal monopoly, and I've got my prohibition profit scheme. And I got that right now. Instead of looking to the future, when instead of having a monopoly and a prohibition tariff on 10% of the market, you could have a free market with 100% of the marijuana market and make so much more money, even though the prices would go down. Economies of scale. These people are thinking, there's a lot of them are still thinking with a drug dealer mentality of having to have the corner on their turf and to have to eliminate all, you know, competition, instead of thinking with a Target or a Walmart mentality of broaden the market, have more consumers, then it doesn't matter if your price goes down that much. Now, Eric Altieri is quoted in the piece, quote, "There are people who are benefiting financially and would prefer to see nothing change that." Of course, Eric's the communications director for Normal. And in Washington state, pot dispensary operators said the new legalization law would put them out of business. In Colorado, opposition from the industry to legalization was muted, but pot dispensaries won an important concession: the exclusive right to convert into recreational shops before anyone else can apply for a license. We found this also in Oregon. We found pushback against a previous legalization attempt because it would have gotten rid of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Act and made it legal for everyone. And they said, no, you can't get rid of the Medical Marijuana Act, even though what would have been left would have been exactly the same as the Medical Marijuana Act, but for everyone, even healthy people. So this is something as legalizers we need to think of and plan for as we move forward, how to deal with the entrenched medical marijuana industries out here on the West Coast and in Michigan as we move forward looking for legalization. If they're not bought in, we're going to face opposition from both cops and medical marijuana people. It's time to figure out how to convert them into allies. And the move in Colorado to let them have the exclusive right for the first rec shops, not a bad idea. All I know is I could never be on the same side as the DEA and the rehabs and the prison guards and the cops. I don't care what Bill puts out. If they're on that side, I'm on the other.
Have you ever met that funny reefer man?
This is a war, right? War on drugs?
Have you ever met that funny reefer man?
Hey, folks, when we come back, we'll have time for your daily Toker Tune, celebrating Virgin and Richard Branson with some Sex Pistols. Stick around.
NARMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be.
I don't know anything about government. Luckily, Terry Joyce does. She tells me what to think, say, and do. Terry Joyce was a carnival freak for years. I'm not wearing any pants, and Terry Joyce is going to fight for my right to get them back. That's why I'm asking you to watch the Hollywood Hempers Hour with Terry Joyce. Trust me, I medicate.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Well, as you know, this weekend I got to go to Minneapolis, Minnesota for the first time ever. And this was part of the film Breaking the Taboo. And I got a chance to interview Sir Richard Branson. And of course, Sir Richard Branson got his start as a record executive. He started the Virgin label and in 1977 was able to sign on Johnny Rotten, Sid Vicious, and the Sex Pistols, a seminal punk band. And we are going to play a little bit of music from the Sex Pistols for today's Roots Monday, which is completely not a Roots Monday song. It's not acoustic, it's not folk, not jazz, not blues. But you know what? It's the roots of punk. So we're going to stretch the definition a little bit and celebrate the getting to meet Richard Branson with this tune. He was a phenomenal gentleman, had a lot of, you know, a lot on his plate, you know, a lot of people there. I was one of three different media sources there to interview him. And the fellow who does the radio show that interviewed before I did got to talking to Richard Branson about the Sex Pistols and what it was like signing them and working with them. And that dovetailed into my interview as well, where he made reference to Sid Vicious. So check that out in the interview coming here at 45 after the hour. But for now, let's turn it over to Sid Vicious, the Sex Pistols, and God Save the Queen from Nevermind the Bollocks. Here's the Sex Pistols.
Moron! Potential heights bomb! Damn.
Hey. How did she get home? Man, I was so high, I didn't... Are we cool? Tim, you know me, that's not me.
Is crack worse for a person than marijuana?
I believe all illegal drugs are bad.
Is methamphetamine worse for somebody's health than marijuana?
I don't think any illegal drug
is
good.
Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
Again, all
I mean, either yes, no, or I don't know. I mean, if you don't know, you can look this up. You should know this as the chief administrator for the Drug Enforcement Agency. I'm asking you a very straightforward question. Is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
All illegal drugs are bad.
Does this mean you don't know?
Heroin causes an addiction.
Okay.
That causes many problems and is very hard to kick.
So does that mean that the health impact of heroin is worse than marijuana? Is that what you're telling me?
I think you're asking a subjective question.
No, it's objective. Just looking at the science, this is your area of expertise. I'm a layperson, but I've read some of the studies. I'm aware of it. I'm just asking you as an expert in the subject area, is heroin worse for someone's health than marijuana?
And I'm answering as a police officer and as a DEA agent that these drugs are illegal because they are dangerous, because they are addictive, because...
Okay.
There is a peaceful solution called a peace revolution. And now let's take back America.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Like millions of freedom-loving Americans, I'm a marijuana smoker, and I don't think that should be any of the government's business. There's absolutely nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana. The next time you light up, take the time to let your elected officials know how you feel. It's time we legalize marijuana and stop treating marijuana smokers like criminals. For more information on how you can help legalize marijuana, please contact Normal at NORML.org.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pens the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Time for us to get into our cannabis Q&A, but we're trying to get Dr. Mitch on the line and not receiving an answer yet, so we'll continue to dial out. You can get your chat questions into our chat room. A very handy thing for you to do is if you type a capital Q followed by a colon, that'll help us be able to find the questions as they come through the chat room. And we'll still be dialing Dr. Mitch here while we attempt to get him on the line. I'm going to refer to a study that I wanted to bring up with Dr. Mitch that I think will be quite interesting. And this was a study about the cannabis compound reducing cigarette consumption in tobacco smokers. This is a study that was reported on the Weed blog. Paul Armentano of Normal brought it to their attention. And they found that CBD significantly mitigates tobacco smokers' desire for cigarettes. This is University College of London. They did a double-blind study to find that organic CBD versus placebo in 24 tobacco-smoking subjects that were trying to quit. They were randomized. One got, you know, one dozen of them got CBD. The other dozen of them got placebo for a week. They used an inhaler. And the researchers reported that over the treatment week, placebo-treated smokers showed no differences in the number of cigarettes smoked. In contrast, those treated with CBD significantly reduced the number of cigarettes they smoked by the equivalent of 40% during treatment, end quote. Moreover, participants who used CBD did not report experiencing increased cravings for nicotine during the study's duration. This is fantastic news for anyone who's been trying to quit cigarettes. Probably the most addictive drug that we got out there and probably one of the most dangerous. And that's the one we decided to make legal, even for people that are 18 or 19 years old in some states. Well, folks, I'm afraid I'm unable to get Dr. Mitch on the phone. It just keeps ringing and ringing and ringing. So we're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I will bring you the footage from St. Paul and Minneapolis. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Russ Belville Show on 420radio.org.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. Simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
Tokers, there's no good reason to get your dog stoned. While it might not harm them physically, imagine being a dog who already begs for treats all day, and then imagine that dog having the munchies. Not cool.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So...
nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. Cannabis community includes a diverse set of activists and nonprofits working to end the prohibition of marijuana. We take the time to hear the stories of reform on the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Community Chat.
Welcome back, everybody. And this weekend, I was the guest of Minnesota Normal out at Minneapolis-St. Paul to attend a screening of the movie Breaking the Taboo. And it featured an anchor from their local Fox channel moderating a panel discussion on the movie that featured Sir Richard Branson, Mayor Chris Coleman of St. Paul, and two other participants. And we've got that entire panel coming up for you in hour two, Toker Talk Radio. Some great discussions, great questions from the audience as well. A packed house in St. Paul at the Landmark Center to watch the movie. And three or four times, spontaneous applause in the movie for some of the pro-legalization statements that were made as part of this film. So we're going to show you that. But before we get to that, I have a little quirky thing that I had to do. I'm very, very fortunate to be able to travel all around the United States to promote marijuana legalization and to do my show and interview people. And when I go to different cities, I like to do something that's iconic for that city. And, you know, when I'm in, for example, Austin, Texas, you got to go to Music Row. If you're in San Francisco, you want to get sourdough bread or see the Golden Gate Bridge, get your picture with the bridge, whatever. So there's certain things that I try to include in my bucket list of photos I would like to take. And I ended up in Minneapolis, St. Paul, as a guest at Randy Quast's condo, and we're out. He's on like the 25th floor, and to the left, you can see the Minnesota Vikings Stadium, and to the right, you can see the Minnesota Twins Stadium, and straight forward is downtown Minneapolis. But that wasn't what I needed to see because, you know, I'm not much of a Vikings fan, being a Packers guy, and baseball, I could care less. But I knew there was something in downtown Minneapolis that I just had to see, something from my childhood, something that meant a whole lot to me. So here's our little trip to downtown Minneapolis, and then the Richard Branson.
Russ here in Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's a little bit of a breeze with our Randy Quast and friends. And here they have... See you later, man.
Hey, see you in a sec.
Bye-bye. Here they have bikes called Nice Ride, and they're rental bikes that you can get and take from place to place, and that's what we're going to do. To get down to a very important place for me, culturally speaking. The one, number one thing that I had to do, number one thing I had to do here in Minneapolis. We're going to go on a bike ride. Because you know I'm all about fitness. Be right back.
And this is our public library. If you weren't here, I would have been across this intersection already. I'm kind of sitting here deep.
What?
Oh. I thought you were going to go because I saw the car coming.
Folks, we are getting close to an esteemed cultural landmark, an icon. Something I've been waiting to do for years. Yes, ladies and gentlemen. So there you have it, my moment in the sun, my little Mary Tyler Moore moment. Those of you who grew up watching 70s TV, you'd have done it too, especially if you were known for wearing a hat. like that. So thanks very much to Randy for bringing me down to Minneapolis. And so after that, we went back to the hotel. There was a great meet and greet. Eric Altieri from Normal was also there. So the two of us, Minnesota Normal hosted us with a buffet and bar. And I got to meet a lot of great activists from Minnesota. It's great to hear what's going on there. They're still working, trying to get a medical marijuana law passed. They got vetoed by Tim Pawlenty, their former governor. They're trying to work forward with the politics that exist now to get something passed in Minnesota. But the highlight of my trip was at the Breaking the Taboo. After the panel discussion, I got 6 minutes to interview Sir Richard Branson, during which he earned my entire lifetime's worth of salaries. Here we go.
What's this for?
My name is Russ Belville. I'm the 420 Radio and High Times Magazine.
Fine, perfect.
I do 24-hour news on
organization. Okay, very good.
We're here with Sir Richard Branson from the Virgin Empire, I guess we could call it. And thank you for coming here to St. Paul and speaking with us today. We just saw the film Breaking the Taboo, and one of the major elements that was a part of this was the corruption and the money being spent and a lot of the money being made by the drug cartels. However, we recently saw the big bank HSBC was found guilty of laundering about $9 billion in drug cartel money. How much of this war on drugs owes to high finance, the big banking industries, and do you see any way of breaking this war on drugs without addressing that issue?
I haven't given it a lot of thought, to be honest. We've concentrated on whether or not the current war is doing damage to people or not doing damage to people. And the Global Commission on Drugs has come out very clearly in saying that far more damage is being done to people by the current approach than by changing it to a different approach. And what we're arguing is that drugs should be treated as a health problem, not a criminal problem, and that we shouldn't be locking up our children, we shouldn't be locking up our brothers and sisters, and we shouldn't be locking up other people's children and brothers and sisters. We should be helping them get back, get back on a normal path. And I think if we do that, and we take drugs away from the cartels, then the problems you mentioned with both banks and the cartels should go away, and we should be able to concentrate on helping that small minority of people who have issues.
We saw in the film a lot of movement in South America and Central America, where the leaders there, it used to be just once they got out of office, they would address this problem. Now the president of Colombia addressing it in office. What do you see, is that pressure from the Organization of American States having an effect on Washington, D.C., and to some extent Ottawa as well? Are they beginning to realize that this is a hemispheric problem that needs to be addressed?
I hope so. I mean, I think the fact that President Obama has not sent in the federal authorities to close down, Washington State, having voted the legalization of marijuana, indicates that that he would like to see some experiments, and he'd like to see the public's reaction to that, my feeling is that it could well spill over from South America to North America and to the rest of the world.
We'd like to see that. And we saw President Clinton in the movie referring to his brother Roger having a cocaine addiction problem. And many people that I interview that are involved in trying to end the war on drugs, there's a personal aspect to it. Is there a personal aspect to this for you that was the aha moment that made you want to get involved with this? I mean, I'm sure you've got a lot on your plate. What made you want to get involved with this?
Well, having run a record company for many years, I've seen, I've lost artists. Someone was talking about the Sex Pistols earlier. Sid Vicious was a heroin addict. We've nearly lost other artists. Boy George from Culture Club, we very nearly lost. I've obviously tried to, help people who've got problems, the police is intervening with us, helping to get them. And Boy George was arrested in my home when he was actually, you know, when we had him there under treatment, set him back, you know, by 4 or 5 years, and you know, finally got himself clean. So, yes, I think that those of us who've had personal experience in situations like this are better able to, I think, to understand the problem than those who haven't.
With the example of Portugal in Europe, just so close, and the Netherlands, we're still seeing in the UK what we call in America reefer madness. I mean, Professor Nutt lost his job by saying ecstasy was safer than horseback riding, for example. Are you making efforts in Europe as well, and how are the parliaments and various legislative bodies in France, Britain, Germany reacting to this message of breaking the taboo?
Well, the Global Commission on Drugs has met with the House of Commons Select Committee, and the House of Commons Select Committee came out with a report after that saying that you know, the policy needs to be changed. And we're hopeful that policy will be changed. Britain is better than quite a few countries in that, you know, we are, although it's not actually written in law, By and large, you know, drugs are treated as a health problem, not a criminal problem, and there are a lot of needle exchange centres in Britain, but this further they could go.
While the United States has driven a lot of this drug war, much of it's tied in with international treaties and the UN level, do you feel that the other community of nations, the European community, the South American community, can make this change without the United States getting involved, or is the United States going to have to be a part of this?
Look, ideally, as many countries as possible should be a part of it, I think that in some ways the United States is actually moving quite quickly with things like the medical marijuana centers, cropping up throughout America, and so I think by de facto, United States in some areas is actually moving quicker than some other countries, and therefore it would be very hypocritical of them to continue, I think, with the current stance.
Thank you. And one final question. If a person wanted to get a job with one of the Virgin companies, is there a drug test involved?
I suspect for our pilots, but our astronauts, but I doubt for any other position in Virgin.
Well, good luck with the Global Commission. Thank you for sitting down with us. And I hope that Virgin Galactic takes off soon, because I want to go.
It will be, and I look forward to getting you up there.
Thank you so much.
Thanks very much. Cheers.
I only need to raise $250,000 to be able to go on the first Virgin Galactic flight, but they're saving a spot for me. Thanks to Sir Richard Branson for sitting down with us, 6 minutes with Sir Richard. We will type the transcript up of that, and it'll be available, I believe, on hightimes.com. We'll check that out. In the meantime, we'll come back here in just a second. Got time for a short little radical rant. Rolla J forwarded me something about earwax in San Jose, so I got a few things to say. Stick around.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Okay to land this thing? No problem, man. I think you're going a little high, man.
It's okay, man. If there's one thing I know, it's how to drive when I'm stoned. It's like you know your perspective's fucked, so you just gotta let your hands work the controls as if you're straight.
Normal stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be.
You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended a Shaolin temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
All right, again, apologies for folks who tuned in earlier trying to get the Dr. Mitch interview. I don't know what's going on. We'll get in touch with Mitch. I'm sure it's something very reasonable. And we'll have him on next week's show, so stay tuned for that. But for today's Radical Rant, I want to take a look at this piece that came up in the San Jose Mercury News. And thanks to Rolla J for forwarding this to me. Typical reefer, you know, more reefer madness here, and now it's coming out with respect to the concentrates, the BHOs, right? So the headline is, let's come back up this, North Bay officials, little known locally about earwax marijuana. Yeah, watch out for the earwax marijuana. All right, so let me just read to you some of the reefer madness. We'll set the tone for you. Let's see. 2 minutes after taking a 5-second hit from a vaporizer, Josh felt the effects of earwax marijuana rushing over him. I felt like I was going to die, the 17-year-old recalled. The movie we were watching started to look 3D. I kept seeing lights. What the others in the group Josh was with had failed to tell him when they offered the drug to him was that earwax marijuana can include up to 90% THC. In short, it's highly hallucinogenic, and knowledgeable sources say it can be very dangerous to certain people. The night Josh was under the drug's influence, someone telephoned Rhonda, Josh's grandmother. She picked him up and drove him to the hospital, where his hands were handcuffed to the bed rails, and he was later arrested. The effects of the drug didn't end with Josh's arrest. The earwax was so intense that Josh's high lasted 3 days, all of which he spent in juvenile hall. A year of probation and $7,000 in fines later, Josh is just beginning to get over the experience. And what's worse, say some experts, the cannabis plant itself, whether an earwax variety or other type, is now bred to be increasingly potent. Christine DeClue. DeClue? A Solano County Alcohol and Drug Advisory Board member said marijuana has come a long way since the days of hippies and disco. Quote, in the 1970s, people were primarily smoking the leaves of the plant, DeClue said. Now users are smoking the more potent buds of the plant, end quote. DeClue is also concerned that the starting age for many marijuana smokers has also changed. Where most in the 1960s might have started while in college, today, children as young as 12 are experimenting, which can result in long-term damage. Andy Williamson, a substance abuse administrator in Solano County, said using marijuana before age 25 can lower a person's IQ by up to 8 points since a young individual's brain is still developing. What disturbed Rhonda the most was not that earwax exists, but the recipes are so easy to find and not one video explains the high THC content or the potential risks. All right, let's see if we can give Rhonda DeClue. Let's just see if we can talk about this. First of all, I want to know what they're selling for earwax in San Jose that gets you high for 3 days. Because if you got that, I need to make some arrangements. 3 days, really. Could it be possibly that when someone has a bad reaction to some potent dab there, potent earwax, and then you freak them out over it, you slap cuffs on them, you rush them to a hospital, you're all in a panic. Do you think maybe that has a little something to do with it as well? Maybe exacerbating the situation here? This is one of the effects of marijuana prohibition. and just drug prohibition in general that always bothers me. And that is a failure to recognize the fact that, you know, there's a thing among us that have done some of these substances that it goes like this. Hey, man, it's okay. You're just on drugs, just having a bad trip. Chill out, relax, drink some water. Everything's going to be okay. And that probably would have done so much more for this kid than rushing him to the hospital, slapping cuffs on him, arresting him, forcing him to go through all of these, you know, juvenile hall, forcing him to go through the meetings and the probation and all, of course, the fees that this kid has to pay. The story goes on to talk about how this now turning 18-year-old kid is having to pay back his grandma for all the bail money and for all of the fees for the drug testing and the fees for the counseling and the fees for this and that. And so Josh says, this is the kid, he's turned 18. He'll turn his advice to others to take marijuana more seriously. Quote, "What people are telling me is that marijuana is not a drug, that it's just an herb. That's bullshit. If it gets you high, it's a drug, so don't do it." Well, Josh, it being illegal didn't stop you from doing it, okay? The problem with the illegality is what needs to be solved here. No one's saying that 17-year-olds should be doing earwax. But the idea that you would want to take that option away from adults, especially a lot of these adults who are medical users who need a very potent, very fast action solution like that, like these concentrates. I know so many people that don't have the time and have too much of a tolerance to be sitting there doing vapor bag after vapor bag or smoking joint after joint. They need some of these concentrates. Now, I agree with Rhonda in that the videos that are showing these kids how to pack tubes and blast, you know, some BHO are doing more harm than good. This should be done by experts in, you know, well-regulated conditions. But again, that's a problem of the prohibition. We had stills blowing up in Appalachia during prohibition. Same concept here. If BHO were being made in a legal environment where it were regulated, tested, labeled, where there would be warnings as to potency, we'd have so many fewer problems with it. And that's all the time we got here for hour one. Hour two, we are going to show the panel featuring Sir Richard Branson and Chris Coleman, the mayor of St. Paul, Minnesota. For Left Wing, there I am, Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down.